Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit among us as we hear and study your word. We ask, Father, that you would speak to us through your word. Help us to hear your word and that it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated. So, Happy New Year. All right. Only done that six times now, and I got a response for the first time. All right, very good. It is sort of weird to say that today. But today, the first Sunday in Advent, actually begins the new year in the church calendar. And the mere fact that we're beginning a new year in December may alert us to the fact that this season is a bit different than what our culture is doing this month. For most, this is really an extended shopping season leading up to Christmas. There's nothing wrong with buying Christmas presents, but the reason that the church has this season as the first of the year is not as a buying frenzy leading up to Christmas morning. This, the season of Advent, is a season of waiting. Waiting with expectation, even waiting with longing, and not just for Christmas presents. Waiting for Christmas, yes. Waiting for the celebration of Jesus' coming to us in the manger, yes. But Jesus has already come to us as the baby born in Bethlehem. We're actually not waiting for that. We're waiting for the annual celebration of that world-altering, history-defining event. But we're also waiting for what he promised that hasn't come yet, that he will come again. So that's why our readings throughout Advent are not all about the magic of Christmas, but they're mostly about hearing the message of the prophets to repent and turn to the Lord. They're about eagerly waiting for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again, as we heard read this morning in 1 Corinthians. Waiting for his promises, waiting and longing for his coming, waiting for him to come and end the darkness and put right everything in the light of his eternal kingdom, waiting for joy that is deeper and outlasts mere presence on Christmas morning, waiting and longing for his coming again. So this morning we're going to look through our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about God's message about this waiting and how we learn to do that well. So I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It is in your bulletin. You're also welcome to find it in the Bible that I'm sure you brought with you or is under the seat in front of you. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to put this sentence up on the screen that's just going to help clarify the message that we see here in this passage, especially beginning at verse 4, as we look together at God's word. God has graciously given us everything we need to wait well for his coming. And he himself will sustain us to the end. God has graciously given us everything we need. Verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, so that you are not lacking in any gift. Grace, given, enriched, not lacking any gift. By God's gracious gift, he has enriched us so that we together are not lacking anything that we need. Everything that we need, he has given to us. Now, I admit that for a long time, I hadn't really noticed this, but once I saw it, I realized it shows up all the time as we read the Bible. And it's this, that in my American individualism, I tend to read everything in the Bible as primarily about me and not us. And that's wrong. Many, even most, of God's promises are not to me, but are to the unified people of God, not to individuals. Even the grammar here makes clear that this is to the church, not just to individuals. So if we want to receive the benefits of the promises, then we need to, in faith, be part of the body to whom they were promised. If we want to receive the promises of God, we need to be part of the thing to which they were promised. Many of God's gifts are only received when we are personally connected to the worshiping body of His church. God's word here does not say, in every way you, Michael, were enriched in all speech and all knowledge, so that you, Michael, are not lacking in any gift. I'm lacking in all sorts of gifts. I'm lacking in most gifts. But together, we have been given all of God's gifts necessary for us to wait well. So what God tells us here is that we need to be faithfully connected to the body, which together has all the gifts that are needed in order to wait well. God has graciously given to us everything we need to wait well for His coming, and He Himself will sustain us to the end. Everything we need to wait. Second half of verse 7. As you wait, or some translations, as you eagerly wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's gifts given to the church help us wait for His coming. God has given us everything that we need so that we together are not lacking anything that we need as we wait for His return. Not that He has given us everything we want. Not that He has given us everything we need to be comfortable, but He has given us everything that we need, as it says, in order to wait well for His return. Later in this same book of the Bible, there's teaching on spiritual gifts, and that's what he's hinting at here with gifts. And we looked at those for a few weeks in a row back in October, but God has divided up His Holy Spirit-empowered gifts, His spiritual gifts, to the church, to us, so that together we have everything we need until He returns. So, just thinking of some of the things that he mentions later in the book. So, like the gift of prophecy, declaring God's word and calling us to follow Him helps us wait as we hear from the Lord. Words of knowledge and wisdom, God's specific insight into situations are needed to help us wait. Hospitality. Anyone here been down and in pain when someone showed care and hospitality at just the right moment and the sustaining nature of that hospitality? I mean, it just goes right down the list of all these gifts that God has given. God's gifts given to the church can encourage and sustain us in the waiting. So we wait, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And the season of Advent reminds us of that we have to wait, and teaches us to wait well. I mean, just by show of hands, does anybody especially enjoy waiting? Now, sometimes in the Bible, like in our reading from Mark 13 read today, we're encouraged to be ready because the waiting could be over at any minute. Be ready, stay awake, wait with expectation that He could arrive before the sun goes down tonight. And other times in the Bible, like in Jesus' parable of the 10 young women that we looked at just a few weeks ago, we're encouraged to be prepared to wait if He delays. Be ready, even if He doesn't come when you expect. Will you have enough oil to wait long enough? And so we wait, not sure when He will come. Not sure when He will put everything right. Not sure if the wars and sickness and famine of the world will end with His return next week or thousands of years from now. Not sure how the pain and fear that we're facing will ever work out. And waiting and not knowing is really hard. Sometimes we need to cry out with the prophet in Isaiah 64 read today, "Oh, that you would just rip the heavens open and show up. Come and fix this, Lord Jesus." And we're told here that we can do that. We can do all of this waiting, knowing that together we have everything we need to wait until he does come. Whether that's before dinner time tonight or long after we enter glory, we are given everything that we need as we wait for his coming again. God has graciously given us everything we need to wait well for his coming, and he himself will sustain us to the end. God himself will sustain us. God himself will do it. Verse 8, God will sustain us to the end. Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful. This passage encourages us to wait well and to do what we can to wait well, to use the gifts of the church to enable each other to wait and persevere. But ultimately, we are promised that it is God who sustains us. God is the one who holds us to the end. God is faithful to count us guiltless in Jesus. God is the one who provided his own son to live and die and rise again for us. And without that, nothing else matters. But even with all that God has graciously given to us, even with the fellowship of other Christians that we're supposed to be a part of, even when everything good that God has given to us, if it is ultimately up to us and our goodness, we're in trouble. But God is faithful, and he will sustain his people to the end. God has graciously given us everything we need to wait well for his coming, and he himself will sustain us to the end. So trusting that God will sustain us, how then do we actually wait well? We've been enriched with all that we need, and God is the one who sustains us. And then part of this season is to look with expectation and learn to wait well until he returns. So as we enter Advent, how do we learn to wait well? Not just waiting for Christmas presents and special meals, as wonderful as they may be, but how do we actually learn to wait well? And so I want to offer you a few things to think about as we enter this season. The first that I want to encourage you to think about, be intentional about creating space in your life to wait. And I actually don't mean in a spiritual sense. I just mean wait for anything. That can actually be a really good way for us to learn. Just let yourself wait. So I'm actually trying, I'm not going to go into all the details, but I'm trying to learn not to fill every moment of my life with just more and more entertainment or distractions. I'm actually trying to learn that lesson. And one small, but actually I think very significant thing I'm trying to do is not take my phone out anytime I'm waiting. See, the tendency is to just pull out the phone any moment there's a pause, much less a long wait. Waiting in line, out comes the phone. Waiting for the coffee to be made, out comes the phone. Waiting during a commercial break, out comes the phone. Now look, I'm a millennial. I'm not anti-phone, no matter what the staff here will tell you. But when we fill every moment with entertainment and distractions, we're actually training ourselves not to be able to wait. See, if our children are never permitted or even required to just be bored, then we're actually training them only to ever be able to wait badly. And the same is true if we have the news on in the house all the time, or we turn on SportsCenter as soon as we wake up so that it runs in the background, or shopping apps on our phones that just with two little presses, something will arrive the next day. Or if you spend enough money, maybe that evening. Those are not inherently wrong at times, but if we're not careful, we can actually unwittingly train ourselves to be unable to wait for anything, and we have to wait for our Savior. And so we can actually learn to wait better, even big picture waiting for Jesus, by simply being intentional about creating space in our lives to wait for things. Be passionately committed to God's church. Be passionately committed to his church. It says in our passage that it is we together who have all the gifts that we need. You need the church. You do not have every gift that God has given to wait well any more than I do, any more than the person next to you does. And the church needs you because we are lacking without what God has given to you. Be passionately committed to the body of Christ. And it's also that together that we keep going. This is why diet and exercise routines are far more effective when done together instead of alone. It's together that we're able to keep going. And so be passionately committed to his church. Create space to wait and be committed to the church. Last one I'll offer is learn the refrain of Advent and use it. Let me tell you what I mean. So the second to last verse of the Bible, Revelation 22:20, you've actually heard this twice now if you were here 2 minutes before the service. In that passage, at the very end of the Bible, Jesus says, "Surely I am coming soon." And then the writer responds, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." And you will hear those words a lot during Advent here. But I'm going to ask if you can figure out how to use those words and that concept in other contexts as well. So, you're sitting with your child in the dark as they need company while they fall asleep. And perhaps because of this sermon, you won't automatically pull out your phone. But while you're waiting in the dark, which is itself a good image of Advent, waiting in the dark, remember these words. Instead of going to some other distraction, maybe in that moment you would pray for needs in the world. And remember that Jesus says that he is coming, and we respond with hope, "Come, Lord Jesus." You're facing a family heartache or medical treatment that didn't go as needed. Remember that Jesus' promise is that he is coming soon, and we can pray with longing, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Come again. Come and put things right. Come and heal and save." Intentionally create space in your life to wait. Be passionately committed to his church. And let the refrain of Advent become your prayer, even in and especially in times of hardship. God has graciously given us everything we need to wait well for his coming, and he himself will sustain us to the end. So friends, welcome to the waiting. Welcome to the season that's supposed to teach us to wait well and even long deep in our souls for Jesus to return and put everything right. Don't let the so-called magic of Christmas distract you from the reality that the world is not the way it should be. And the only solution to the world's problems is Jesus, not Christmas decorations. Jesus, born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, and Jesus who will one day return in power and great glory to judge the living and the dead. In him, together, we have all that we need, and God himself will sustain us. God has graciously given us everything we need to wait well for his coming, and he himself will sustain us to the end. Amen.